is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The Iran deal, the Vienna talks. Again, we welcome Dr. Roz Zimt, Research Fellow on Iran at the Institute for National Security Studies, INSS. Roz, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining. What is the expectation that we're told one more time Dracula's gotten out of his coffin, taken the wooden stake out of his heart, and is talking about the Iran deal? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Nice to be here today. Well, I wouldn't say that we have good reason to be too optimistic. We've seen the recent talks in Doha, which ended without any kind of results. And I think that the main question still remains whether the Iranian leadership, meaning mainly Supreme Leader Khamenei and the Supreme National Security Council in Iran, whether they really want to go back to the JCPOA. And I have to admit that looking at the behavior and the conduct of the Iranian negotiators over the last few months, we have good reasons to doubt that.
How is it that right after they make the announcement that they reached 60%, that they violated every aspect of the JCPOA in anticipation of these talks? Do they see this as the last attempt? And then what happens the day after if this one fails? We've seen over the last 6 months repeated statements by people in the Biden administration that this they have a week, they have a month, they have a day. And yet we see that it just continues. Is that again going to be the case here?
Well, I think that the Iranians nor the Americans, certainly not the Europeans, want to declare the death of the JCPOA because neither of them have good alternative. The Iranians could certainly continue the progress made in the nuclear program. They can enrich uranium to 60%, even perhaps to 90%. They can accumulate more fissile material. But they have to remember that by declaring the JCPOA dead, that might cause them some domestic problems as well, because as you probably know, economic situation in Iran is still very bad. The discontent continues in Iran. But on the other hand, the Americans as well don't seem to have a very good plan B, because they can certainly increase the economic pressure. But let's face it, the economic pressure hasn't done anything until now to force Iran into making more concessions. Nobody really wants to use military force right now, especially with what's going on in Ukraine and with China. So I think both sides might try to continue the talks as long as they can.
The official who talked to Axios, a website that's often used here as foreign policy reporting, talks about the metaphor fine-tuning in this conversation. Does the fine-tuning include a decision about the demand that the IRGC no longer be regarded as a terrorist organization?
Well, frankly, I think that this demand is no longer really on the table. I mean, the Iranians, although today we heard that the Iranian dismissed this report saying that it's no longer part of the Iranian demand. But if you look at the statements made by Iranian officials, including Foreign Minister Abdollahian over the last few weeks, it doesn't seem to be the main demand today by Iran. I think that the two main demands made today by Iran is first to get more guarantees from the U.S. administration what might happen or will happen in case the next administration in Washington might decide to withdraw again from the deal, and how should it affect, for example, Western European companies who want to make business with Iran. And the second, I think, even more problematic demand is for the Iranian file the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Organization, to be closed. And we know that that might be very, very difficult to do.
Malcolm?
How much do you assess the impact of the domestic unrest in Iran? We know the situation is deteriorating. We saw in the last day more arrests of the Baha'i leadership. Will they be able to help the financial situation in any way in Iran to lessen the unrest? But it seems to be spreading and in all the major cities.
Well, I think that with all due respect to the protests going on in Iran, even recently in July, I don't think that at the present time they really pose a real immediate threat to the security or the stability of the regime. And that's the assessment in Tehran. I mean, I believe that the Iranian regime right now really believes that even if there is continued protest in Iran and even if the economic situation continues to deteriorate, as Khamenei said again and again, it's better to neutralize sanctions, for example, by using this resilience or resistance economy rather than remove them. So I wouldn't say that the Iranian regime doesn't want to improve the situation inside Iran, but there are very good reasons for Khamenei not to return to the JCPOA, especially if he assumes that sanctions relief might be only temporary until the next elections in the U.S.
Doctor, some weeks ago, there was a photograph from Tehran of Vladimir Putin, President Raisi, and President Erdogan raising their hands in a victory in some fashion. Who got the most out of that photograph, Russia, Iran, or Turkey?
I'm not sure that any of them. Turkey was not the main participant, in my view, in this summit, although most of the discussions were around Syria and the Turkish threats to carry out another operation in northern Syria. Erdogan came out of this summit without giving any promise that he withdraws from his intentions to do that. When it comes to Russia and Iran, I think that both countries consider the current situation, especially following the war in Ukraine, as an opportunity to get a little bit closer. But we have to remember that at the end of the day, Russia and Iran are still competitors, not just partners. And if you look, for example, at the Iran's oil exports to China, which have actually declined over the last few months because of Russians selling oil in reduced prices to China, that shows you that with all due respect, there are still problems and differences between those two countries. But certainly, especially after the Biden's visit to the Middle East, it was a very good opportunity for them to show this solidarity between the partners of the new the new world order.
Malcolm, we have a couple
of
minutes.
Do you think Russia wants Iran to get into the JCPOA and make a deal? We know that they controlled the negotiations in Vienna. We hear that they control a lot of the discussion in Tehran itself. So is it Russia's interest to do it? And how will this translate in terms of the tripartite meeting that John mentioned, in terms of Syria? Will they let Turkey move ahead with its designs against and to perhaps occupy even part of northern Syria?
We have 1 minute, Doctor. 1 minute.
Well, concerning the first part of your question, the short answer is no. I don't think that Russia is having any interest to get back to the JCPOA because it might allow Iran to export more oil. Concerning the situation in Syria, I doubt it if either Iran or Russia could really force Erdogan to do anything when it comes to its activities in Syria.
Dr. Raz Zimt, research fellow on Iran at the Institute for National Security Studies, Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.